For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I've often talked about how much of a pay-per-view buyer I am. Take that any way you want it. But I'll tell you how I take it. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Fastest VPN on the planet. Global server network. All that good stuff. That's great. But a big, big reason why I got NordVPN.com/Fightful is all the pay-per-views I buy. All the money we're spending. We're trying to control costs as a company, as a household. You can get those UFC pay-per-views at a fraction of the price you're paying here in America. Plus, you can get all kinds of great content that you wouldn't normally see thanks to those services as well. Shows that are on overseas services, things that you want to watch a little bit early so you get on that UK time and watch them. Being able to change the interfaces of things like the WWE Network. Maybe you don't like Peacock, anything like that. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that ability while having the fastest VPN on the planet. Also, you just get so much more out of your internet experience with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to Fight and AEW Plus. Watch AEW without commercials. Watch bare-knuckle boxing. Watch UFC pay-per-views, boxing pay-per-views at the rates they're getting over in the UK. Change your virtual location with just one click. And hey, if you need any help using it, they got that 24/7 tech support. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here with a name you know. How could you not? You might know him as Damian Sandow. Now you know him as Aaron Stevens. He's going to be at NWA 75 on August 26th and 27th, Chase Ballroom in St. Louis. Huge event for NWA. We're so happy to be talking to you. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm doing great. No, thank you so much for having me, Sean. Hope everything's well with you.
It's going very well. We actually... On our Patreon service, just reposted an article that you wrote for the Fightful magazine a while back, the Wrestler's Tribune, which our owner reached out to you and wrote, and that was really fascinating. And you've, I mean, even within the context of your on-screen character, have been like this eloquent guy for so long, and you've always had this knack of speaking well for yourself, but also imparting knowledge via interviews, via written word, and all that. Is that something that always came naturally to you?
No, I'm just really good at convincing people I'm smart. Like, that's something that it's just, I have a knack. I really, you know, those that truly know me know I am a different bird altogether. I think, like, naturally, because I got involved in wrestling at a very young age. At 16, I began kind of my indoctrination under Killer Kowalski, and you just kind of learn the importance of communication, because that's all really wrestling is, right? Like, we're communicating stories, we're communicating emotions that we would like the crowd to feel, or rather like making the crowd feel emotions through communicating with our bodies, sometimes our words, sometimes, you know, like anything. So it's one of those deals. And you know, when you kind of know a subject, I just think you have a certain comfort zone about speaking about it. And especially on things like this, where, like, I tell a lot of people, I've been getting a lot of requests for seminars, which is crazy, because I was like, the last thing I want to do is go teach people about wrestling. But what the seminars are geared more towards are character development, how you portray yourselves in the ring, outside the ring also, but how you can essentially, like, grab people's attention, and then once you have their attention, how you can kind of keep it and use it to kind of tell the story you want to tell. So the seminar has been going really well, and I've kind of like never wanted to do them, but now I'm glad that because what happened was with the writer strike, where we're NWA, that's kind of my exclusive home, and they run about every month, every 6 weeks, but in the meantime, in between time, I'm like, you know what, let me just try something. And I noticed a void too, like when new talent comes to NWA, you know, there is a deficit in the business as far as character building goes. And a lot of people don't even know what character is. Like, you talk to some of these people, oh, well, it's my tights and this and that, and I come down to this song. Well, no one cares. Look around. No, but it's true, right? Like, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but guess what? Everyone comes down to music they think is cool. Everyone puts so much time and effort into their gear and got rhinestones and glitter and cool symbols on it and neon colors or whatever. Like, in a show that is bombarded with overstimulation, right? How are you going to stand out? And some of the people that, you know, I've asked my advice, I've given it to them, they've applied it, and they see immediate results. Others don't. And they come and ask me again, and I just say, well, you didn't do what I told you the first time, so I'm not wasting my time. Before, I had this save everyone mentality. Now it's more kind of like, all right, and this is for NWA, you know, if you can apply this, I will help you more, right? And of course, in the seminars, if you pay attention, you can apply it. And again, you'll see results, because anything that I teach, anything that I say, is battle tested.
And
like, in other words, it works.
Yeah, and kind of to your point with what you're doing now, like, I've long liked Rodney and Rocket's work, but it's Carnage of Damage. Like, I'm more interested in them than I've ever been in what they're doing on screen now than even the stuff I was seeing long ago. And you're starting to see a lot of that with NWA talent. Like, what does it mean for you to be a part of something like that?
It's just, in my opinion, it's the best place for me to be right now. Mm-hmm. It's creative freedom. Billy, as a boss, he is not afraid to take a chance, like a true chance. He's not afraid to truly take a risk. And that's where magic happens, right? Like, you have to allow, and I think because, you know, he's always thought outside the box and had his vision and kind of and done things his own way. I think we're seeing that in terms of the promoter that he is, because what a lot of promoters don't do, right? Like, it's very much like a totalitarian, hey, this and this needs to happen right now. When he has an idea, okay, and you know, this is what's going to happen. But what Billy allows for is that space and like, all right, how do you want to tell the story? And again, in that void, that's where you make magic, right? No one ever told me to wrestle the Invisible Man. They just told me you're going to go out there with Miz. Okay, well, guess what? You know what I mean? One thing, opportunity for magic to happen. And also, like, if Billy sees something and if something's working, he'll go with it.
Yeah.
Like, despite whatever vision he thinks, like, if the fans are buying something, you know, he rolls with it. And that's really cool. That's like, I would rather be a part of a company like that than any other kind of company. Because again, like, no matter where you're at, right, in wrestling, create, like, we all have this kind of creative expression we want to convey, right? And like, there are so few people, and they think, you know, they do a move where they have like this, you know, 10-second internet clip that they can put on Instagram and Twitter or X now, whatever it's called. And again, I'm not taking away from the athleticism. It's amazing. But few people know what magic really is, right? Magic is when they hear the two notes of your song, right? When you go through the curtain, they're with you every step of the way,
yeah.
Right? It's not just, oh, like, yeah, they you get a pop because they see you're on TV or this and that, but then when you go to the ring, there's like crickets in your match, and then something happens and the crowd goes, ooh, and then the finish of the match happens and people are like, oh, okay, yeah. No, that's not it. That's not what this stuff should be at all. And again, not taking away from anybody, and because, like I told someone, like, I was getting in a philosophical debate, right? Shall we say, with somebody who's a little bit younger, and And again, I welcome anything because I'm like, the fact is, like, I've been around so long because I've been open to change, right? I'm very open to change. Like, times change, society changes, what's cool changes. And it's all good, right? You got to adapt to that. But here's the thing. If people keep the mentality they have, I will continue to have a job as long as I want in wrestling because I know my stuff works. You know, that's the name of the game. So, but no, it's just with NWA, and again, I'm sorry I got off track there.
No, like, it's fine.
It is such a, again, like the stuff with the question mark and I, in the beginning, you know, 2019.
Love that.
It was just, again, it wasn't planned. No one, when the question mark character came about, no one ever, the word karate was never even mentioned. You know, when the question mark character was being created. But then one day it was, as Joseph and I were seated in the stands of Georgia Public Broadcasting Studio. And then after that, we, you know, Mongrovia. And then, you know, it was Billy's idea. It was like, I think like the Atlanta airport. He's like, we have to make a flag. Okay. And then like, so here we are, you know, and to this day, you know, the Mongrovian flag hangs at the studio, which is great. And so it's just, again, it's a wonderful company to be a part of. I've really kind of enjoyed seeing the progress of it, right? Like the ups, you know, of course we had the pandemic, there's ups, there's downs.
Yeah.
But like it's a place that, like, all right, when I get on the plane to go to NWA, there's always a smile on my face. And I'm always in a good mood.
How did the conversation go when it's determined you would lean more into managing? Because it's very clear, like, we saw the Aldis match. You still got it in the ring, certainly. Like, that isn't, doesn't seem to be a concern whatsoever. Even a few weeks after that.
I hadn't been in a ring. So I was so that match, here's a little tidbit. I had not been in a ring since the pandemic started. So it was, like, almost over a year. Right? On top of that, California, all the gyms were closed. I was in the worst shape of my career for that match. I've never been more out of, like, just physically, I look like garbage. But it's just like, you know, what Walter or Killer would always say, like, you know, you don't lose, once you get this, you don't lose it. And so that was cool. But no, the managing thing, it was actually at the Chase last year. And it was crazy, right? And like, we talk about magic, right? When magic kind of happens.
Mm-hmm.
So night number one, I was in a tag match or something, and I accidentally like got a little cut on my hand in the ring. All right, whatever. So I went to the gym that the morning after on Sunday, and they had this like black latex glove. I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't want to get germs or infected. It's a fresh cut.
Sure.
Let me just put this black glove on. So I kept the black glove on. And then that night, I happened to be, like, going out with Rodney. And he was wrestling Pope, I think. And I was managing him. So I'm like, all right, well, I got a black glove. And, you know, I of course, I have to take the big cornet bump. And, like, I remember the tapings went really well. And I kind of went to the back. And I didn't say anything to anybody. But I'm kind of sitting there. And I went, huh. Well, we go to Nashville, and that was like, by the way, we have two tapings in Nashville. I know anniversary, you said it's the 26th and the 27th mm-hmm. in St. Louis. The 28th and 29th, we're going to be in Nashville for the power taping, so you don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
Go to NWATix.com, and you can find out all about that. And, you know, of course, NWA Power, it airs on YouTube every Tuesday at 6:05. Eastern, that is. And of course, you can go on there anytime and look at the episodes. The ones that I'm featured in are the highest rated, I'm just saying. And then from there, I'm kidding. no, like,
numbers don't lie.
Hey,
guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Exactly. But what it is, it was just like, hey, you're going to manage Rodney tonight. Yeah, fine. And then we're doing a promo, and I still had the black, because by now the black glove, people are like, you know, they're kind of joking with me about it. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to just, you know, it was a backstage thing. I'm keeping the black glove on. Well, we were at dinner in Nashville, and it was like me, Tyrus, Murdoch, Kratos, Tim Storm, like just our little group, our core group of guys that we all kind of hang together. And I say that, but like NWA, here's another thing about it. Everyone says it's one of the most welcoming, relaxed, and fun locker rooms they've ever been in. And that means the world. Because, like, you know, we have guys, you know, La Rebellion doing big, big things in Mexico. Everyone just kind of like, you know, there's a team effort, and it's one of the best locker rooms.
I do not hear backstage locker room drama stories about NWA. I don't.
No, because like a lot of like from the guys that have been doing this a little longer, like we all said, we ain't having that, and it's not tolerated. As much as we can prevent that from happening, and that starts from the top. You know, it starts from Billy Corgan, Pat Kenny, who I have found is one of the most intelligent, grounded people as far as how he approaches dealing with talent and managing everything. And, you know, Pat's taught me a lot just by learning from him and being able to kind of deal with him like that. So I'm grateful to him, too.
Even on Thunder Rosa's way out, she was talking like glowingly about Pat Kenny and about how easy he made things for her during that process.
No, he's a wonderful, wonderful human being, and he is a wonderful head of talent relations. I can say that, and I've worked for a lot of people, so you know, and Pat says, he goes, this is your locker room, you know, probably the day to day stuff, like we just want to have a good time. And like have a good product, and that's what, like, you know, people come in and it's just a good vibe. So, I got off track again, but so now I'm doing a promo, and in the promo, because I don't really rehearse what I'm going to say, and like Billy and I have this whole thing where, like, you know, he's directing. There's a situation. Okay, let's go. Let's see what we have. Again, I have the black glove on. So I just said, that's right. And some about Black Club Entertainment or Black Club Management. I forget what it was. And we're at dinner, and Billy comes up to me, and he comes and he sits down and goes, hey, I have a great idea. I go, yeah? You need to be a full-time manager. And I went, yep. And kind of like, the way I look at it, right, as a performer, I have nothing to prove in the ring. Like I said, sure. I was in the worst shape of my career, and I felt I had, and I hadn't been in a ring. I hadn't locked up. I hadn't hit the ropes. I hadn't done anything. And I felt I had one of the best main events from a technical standpoint that the new version of NWA has ever seen. And again, you can just go back and look at it and just see, right? I'm not trying to, I don't want to overstate this or understate it, but I felt it was, and people told me it was, you know? And it was just a pure good old fashioned wrestling match, right? Yes. So like, I know I can do that. Like there wasn't chairs, tables, bells. No, it was just two guys competing over guys, which is how it should have been. And I can do that. And I know the level that I can do that at any given time, provided my body holds up and everything. Yeah. And it's just, to me, it's just, it is what it is. Like, this isn't, I've, the first 5 years of my career, I spent getting comfortable and relaxing in a ring.
Yes.
The next 5 years, I spent finding out who I was. And then after that, like, it was always something like to they say like, oh, the main event style or whatever it is. It's always something that's come very natural to me, right? Like I can do the comedy because yes, I have zero inhibitions as a performer because I'm comfortable enough with myself as a man. I don't have anything to prove to anybody. And I also can do the street fight segments that I've done and the tables and the blood and guts, hardcore Puerto Rico. Yeah, I can do that. I've done that a lot. You know, I know how to bleed. you know, I hardcore. I know how to do this. It's where do I fit in and where do I want to go, right? And when things line up, like, it's you have to get truly, and I say this to everyone, and I do talk about this in my seminars, right? When you can become endearing, you'll always have a job.
Yeah.
To some degree, right? When a crowd, I mean, unless you know, piss the office off in every major company, but when a crowd invests enough emotion in you that you can go away for a while like I did, and then when I, you know, brought back the NWA and stuff, when they invest enough of their emotions in you and you can create enough moments in their mind, because you know, people remember moments. We think of WrestleMania 3. It's Hogan and Andre face to face. The body slam heard around the world, right? You know, like things like that. You know, and I'll use Hogan again, him and Rock face to face. Shawn Michaels kicking Rick Flick saying, I'm sorry, and kicking Rick, right? Like, we need to create moments because that is what it, like, it burns in people's memory and they remember you, right? Yeah. Then that's what being a star is. They remember you. And again, I was fortunate enough to kind of have enough of those moments to where like the crowd was like, all right, cool. Like, yeah, we know this guy, right? And that, which is essentially that, like you become endeared to them. And at the very least, I think any crowd I've ever performed in front of via, you know, Skyway Studios in Nashville, Madison Square Garden, The Chase in St. Louis, every time I go through the curtain, like I literally give every single bit, an ounce, and whatever unit of measurement you'd like, it's everything I have. And I've never really been physically exhausted after a match. In fact, quite the opposite, because your adrenal glands kicked in. But I have been emotionally exhausted. And every night, like when I start shutting down, I mean, I am, it is like complete emotional exhaustion, because it's, you know, those people paid to see the show, of which I am part of, they're going to get everything I have, regardless of what I'm doing. And that's the thing, like as a manager, I sweat more as a manager than I did in the ring, because I got that blue jacket on and everything. And it's you know, and it's having to highlight the talent, right? Like, because it's not, being a manager isn't just screwing around No, it's knowing when to do it, right? It's if the crowd is not where you want them to be, it's getting them up there and then pass. It's like an assist, right? Basketball. You pass it along to the guys in the ring, right? And if the guys in the ring do something awesome and the crowd goes nuts, it's my job to fan the flame. And, you know, working with Rodney and Marche, it's been such a great thing. And, you know, like with us, a lot of people, oh, well, you guys look like Doom. Your version Doom 2.0. Well, here's the thing about that. No SH, you know what? Okay, of course. Because, and I say this, good, bad, or indifferent, they noticed it right away.
Yes.
Right? You automatically, you feel something right away. Okay? So, now, if you really want to dissect it, it's becoming a life of its own. You know, I'm the kind of manager I am is different. Rodney and Marche are, they're doing their own thing. And, excuse me, very soon, if not already now, like BFT, it is, I mean, it truly is its own entity.
Yes.
And the Doom comparisons are becoming less and less and less. But bottom line, the day we debuted in New Orleans, it was like November or December last year, people made noise.
Yeah.
And we had their attention. And that is the hardest thing, because there's no, unless your gear like has a billboard sign on it that flashes and it's got an LED system built into it, hung by the Smashing Pumpkins Live, which I know we may have the luxury of everybody doing that, but you know, I don't think so. But like, your entrance song isn't going to get you over. Even then, the Pumpkins are over, right? Whoever's singing the song's over.
Yes.
You can have the best entrance. You can have cool. Well, no, I'm sorry. You can have cool music. You can have cool gear, and you can do cool moves, right? But are the people cheering for the move? Because if they cheer for the move when the move's over, so are their cheers.
Yes.
If they cheer for your gear after they see your gear a couple times, all right. If they like your song, they'll headbang to it. Or like Sandman, right? ECW Arena, Sting and Enter Sandman, right? Coolest thing ever, right? Here's the difference. What Sandman was able to do is harness that, be himself, right? And work it for everything it's worth. If Sandman had gone out there and wrestled like, you know, any kind of random person you want to think of, right? I don't want to like name, but I mean, anyone, right?
Sure.
It wouldn't have worked. He needed to drink beer, swing the cane, smash the beer can on his head, and go nuts. Because that was him, right? Like, we all have, and I'm convinced, everybody that gets involved in pro wrestling or even wants to try this, there's something inherently wrong. And I'm just going to keep this real, right? Like there's a couple wires up here that are not quite connected, because why on earth would you want to do something that like, I want to put my body through hell, risk injury, death, paralysis, whatever, to fight in my underpants in a performance setting?
Sure.
Right? Now, where those wires are not quite connected, therein lies, and this is my opinion, therein lies everyone's potential for stardom. Because some people are like, oh, I don't see it in this person, I don't see it in that person. No, I am convinced everyone can become a star, right? But here's the thing. You have to know how to use what you've got. And a lot of people, they cannot get past this, like the paradigm today, which is, oh, this is what gets over. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Like, if it did, you wouldn't be struggling to get over. Right? Because getting over is easy. You just got to, I call it the tooth, you got to know and then you got to flow. You got to know who you are and just let that flow and let it be. And that's it, right? But NWA, that's why I think we're starting to see now, again, the snowball effect. More and more people are paying attention. Different promotions are kind of raising an eyebrow. And again, we're just doing the same thing. We're chugging along. And I often make this equation, like, we are the tomato soup and grilled cheese of pro wrestling. Like, we're that, no, but right, like that old yeah. school kind of comfort. You're going to see characters, storylines that are simple, easy to follow. And that's it. Like again, pre-COVID, NWA Power, I felt, was one of, if not the best products out there.
Yeah, I agree.
Truly was. And that, you know, again, speaks for itself. So, you know,
I mean,
post-pandemic.
The NWA title before that was like, okay, let me go to Wikipedia and see who holds it. And I interviewed Tim Storm, yeah. and I was like, oh, this guy's going to be good when he gets on television. And now I adore the guy. Like, it's still, like, 6-7 years later, the guy's almost 60, and I'm like, I love just seeing this guy pop up because I know that he's a genuine person, and that was conveyed on their television show.
Because Tim is endearing.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
That's the thing. There's like, I never, and Tim is one of my closest friends in the business, by the way, now. I'm
incredible
very, very
guy.
Blessed to call him, yes, very, very blessed to call him a friend. Before I met him, right? Like, because I would keep up, you know, kind of with NWA. There was Instagram, and they did a good job of kind yeah. of telling the story of 10 pounds of gold. And I was just like, this guy, Tim, there's something about him that is endearing, right? And he's just, like, because it's honest. He told his story. You know, he looks the part. I mean,
yes,
Tim's,
he does.
Tim's a solid guy. You know, I wouldn't want to try him. But he looks the part. He understands who he is, right? And he just is. And on top of that, he's got one of the, or no, I'm not one of, the best tan in the business
it's
by far.
It's obscene. It's
a, yeah.
It's almost criminal.
Yep. It is.
Like, you know he's got multiple memberships to places. Like, he doesn't go to just one place to tan.
No, apparently he has a good base tan.
Okay.
Right? And he got his base tan. When it comes for shows, he'll tan a little more. But the thing about Tim, he's just, like, consistent with it, which is the thing. It's like, oh, wow. And there have been times where Tom Latimer, like, Tom has walked in, right? Like, when Tim's not there, it's like perspective. You know how, like,
yeah.
everyone's teeth look white until you put them against something white?
Yes.
Right? Well, it's the same thing. Like, Tom has walked in the locker room, and we're all going, like, ooh, wait a minute. Like, Tom, because there's this tan competition that we all
yes.
take part in. I mean, like, we all, it's, you know, it's like, I'm not in the running. Neither is Trevor or Tyrus, but, like, someone will come in tan and try to challenge Tim. And I forget where this was. It might have been Nashville, but, like, Tom Latimer comes walking in, and we're like, uh-oh. Like, you may have Tim in. And, like, they were taking pictures earlier, and he had this, like, silver gear on, I think, so we looked even tanner. And we're going, like, oh, this is, this is going to be a first, right? Tim came walking in his blue or purple suit jacket. And there's Tom oiled up, greased up with the silver. And he stood next to Tim, and Tim still had him.
I like to imagine Tim spends his days scrolling people's Instagram to scout out the competition. And he's just like, nah, not this set of tapings.
No. And that's just it. I mean, but no, it's great. And, like, again, to see him again at 75, it's going to be him and Jax.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I thought you were joking and saying at 75 years old, Tim Storm.
Oh, no. Look, no. But I will say this: at 75 years old, he will still probably have the better tan than any one of us.
and an incredible body. The dude looks great.
Yeah. Yes.
Man.
And, yeah, like, it's again, him and Jax, and Tim's career is on the line, which is,
yes,
that's a big thing. And you have a story, a basic story, where you have Jax kind of the, he's been doing this a while, but, you know, the more youthful of the two, he's a buck, he's in his prime. You have Tim Storm, who has been doing this a very long time, is better than most people in their prime. And I would argue, like, Tim's prime came much later in his career.
Yeah. I don't even think he wrestled until
really,
his
right?
30s.
You look at the career of Tim Storm. And that's insane, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and Tim also has the, you know, like with the emotion, you know, coupled with that, coupled with being at the Chase in St. Louis, which is a very, you know, it's, people ask me, they're like, what's the favorite place you ever wrestled, this and that? And like, yeah, it's cool wrestling in Louisville, wrestling in, you know, up in Boston, Providence, like, because it's like home to me, you know. Sure. Like I grew up in Massachusetts, I live in Louisville, and
we could have done this in person. I'm an hour away. I'm in Lexington.
Oh my God! Wow. Okay, right on.
We're gonna have to do one in person then.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But like, you know, when you walk out in the garden, there's nothing that equates to walking out in Madison Square Garden.
Sure.
Like the air is different. Is the only, like, there is like a buzz in the air, and when you walk out there, it's just like, whoa. Like I get goosebumps thinking about it. And the Chase is very similar because of,
yes,
like with who we are with NWA and the history and the legacy, like there's a certain, like, okay, like we have to, every one of us on the card, that is a regular at NWA. I can't speak for the people that are being brought in. I don't know. So I'm not going to sit here and lie, but in terms of the core people, every single one of us in that locker room, we know the standard we have to hold at the Chase. And it is a different standard. And when they, you know, I equate it to the garden with the air being different. It's like that at the Chase, because we have to not only uphold the NWA name, but we have to perpetuate it forward. And that is something that we take a lot of pride in. And despite all the fun we have in the locker room and what a great place it is, we take very seriously.
You mentioned NWA and all the history, but you also mentioned your connection to Killer Kowalski. Triple H, also known as a Killer Kowalski guy. Is that something you all ever discussed, bonded over, anything like that?
Not really, no. I mean, we've like, there's like, you know, the obscure reference here and there.
Yeah.
But no, it was just business with him.
That's, you know, interesting, like, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had talked about NWA, NWA 75, Chase, all that stuff. I love the homages that NWA constantly gives to the past, too. Like, it is, their history is current history as well. Like, every so often, you'll just see Billy be like, hey, I'm bringing this obscure championship belt from, like, 33 years ago back. I love that as well. Is there anything like that that you've ever pitched or you've seen, or you've been like, you know what, let's maybe pay some respects to this? You know, we've seen the studio wrestling aspect of it largely come back. I mean, they were doing studio wrestling before a lot of people had to do studio wrestling in the pandemic as well.
Yeah. No, personally, there's nothing that I like have pitched or anything. Although I do love nostalgia. I love being a part of it, but like the way my mind works is I'm, you know, very like, okay, what's the best thing for the show? What's the best thing for the people? But like, when it comes to actually like doing stuff, and I've always had this, I don't care who I'm in there with. I don't care what I'm doing, but when I'm performing with someone, and this is just the mentality I have to have, no matter who they are, I'm not in the ring with them. They're in the ring with me.
Okay.
And because that mentality, it radiates, right? Because if you look at everyone who came before us, that is what made them them. I, you know, have all the respect in the world for some people, but it's like, and I've had this mentality in WWE too, but like when the red light's on, all right, yeah, like I'll follow the marching orders, but like you got to be able to hang. And I don't care who you are, because I'm bringing my A game and I'm not pulling punches, you know? Again, not that this is disrespectful. You don't be disrespectful. You don't, sure, do whatever. But like, no, you have to have that pride and that, like, that focus to where it's like, no, like, this is, like, I don't care what we're doing. And that's always kind of stirred me. And they say, oh, how you make chicken salad out of chicken something else. No, it's just because I simply don't let myself fail in that way. I told, you know, at the Crockett Cup, it's a lot, right? People, they like to talk matches over and plan everything and this and that. And sometimes it ain't like that, you know, not in the pros. And when you have younger talent, you know, there was a younger talent that I manage in the tag team. You can guess who. and I just said to him, I said, hey, I go, you got this. You have your skill set. You know what you're doing. You listen. You're doing great. You're finding yourself more every time. Proud of you. But just remember, no matter what anyone says, when you go through that curtain, failure is simply not an option. There will be variables. Things happen. The top rope breaks. Spots get messed up. Finishes get messed up. But at the end of the day, whatever the message, like, we have to keep our heat, right, going out.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right? You got to make a baby face, get the crowd going nuts for the baby face. That is ultimately what success and failure is in the long term. And although you may have shortcomings via, you know, and agents mess things up sometimes, there's miscommunications, whatever. Out there, when it comes to, like, because it's wrestling is never about what are we doing today. It's about what are we doing? What are we coming back with?
Yes.
Right? Because you want people to pay attention. So that's what it is. In that respect, failure is simply not an option. And he's getting it, and it's great. And he hasn't failed. And he's just, again, it's a pleasure. No message, but Marche, right? It is a pleasure to be able to work with him. And, you know, Marche, Jordan Clearwater, they are just they're kind of like rekindling my faith in a lot of things. So
another thing I look upon fondly in a tag team perspective in your career, and it's aged even better, is Team Rhodes Scholars. Like, my God, like, that era, like, when they moved to 3 hours, I was like, is this gonna work? And then, like, the tag team wrestling and the six man wrestling was just exploding in that period. And all of a sudden, instead of 3 or 4 minute matches, we're getting you guys against, like, Team Hell No, and in the ring with, like, Orton, Christian, Cena, Miz, all these people, like, 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Cody and I, and Cody said this, and I'll say this, as far as business goes, like, we were the best partner each other had in terms of, like, what are we doing today? Like, do we have to be the Midnight Express? Because that's what, essentially, and we would always joke, like, that's what we were. We were the bumping, feeding, keep getting heels. Right? I mean, that was our role.
Yeah.
And
You guys were working 20-minute matches on people that watch wrestling now are like, when you tell them, oh, a 20-minute match happened on WWE Main Event, they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, they were really pushing that show back then, and y'all were working 20, 25-minute matches on that show.
But here's the thing. But we could.
Yeah.
Because we understood how to do it. Right?
Yeah.
With a lot of people I've seen today, and again, this is not, I'm not knocking anyone that works hard. You gotta have a moveset that's contemporary. Right? You gotta keep it, always keep it fresh. Like, if I go back in the ring, if I ever go back in the ring, I'm going to have to do new stuff. Right? It's just common sense. Sure. However, like, guess what? I can do that, and I can be out there for 20 minutes, right, and keep people's attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. In 20 minutes, when the finish of my match happens, I'll have that place explode.
I mean, that run was so much fun. I mean,
it was a lot of fun working with him, yeah.
And it's one of the things that I've recently went back and rewatched. I've interviewed Cody a few times recently, so I was familiarizing myself with some of the stuff he did. You guys were in the ring with The Rock at one point.
Yep.
Do you remember, like, being told about that? And even, what was there a process of going over that beforehand?
Not that I like, we kind of like, when we talked to him before a little bit, but like, no, Cody and I were just like, all right, this is what we're doing. And, you know, we rode together and stuff like that. And we just, it was like, no, like, this is what we got today. We're going to go. I mean, like, our SummerSlam match was a lot of fun. That one, I don't think gets the, you know, like, cause we've had so many, like, again, we go back to moments, right? Him and I were very good at creating moments, and like we were entertaining, but we also got it done, and that was it, right? That's the name of the game.
I definitely encourage people who maybe weren't fans yet then to go back and check out, especially that era of tag team wrestling on Raw, SmackDown, Main Event too. There were some incredible things that were on that show at that point. NWA 75 coming up, Chase Ballroom, August 26th, August 27th. Very excited for the show. It's a loaded show. We got EC3 on the program. We got yourself on the program. A ton of familiar faces and names for those of you that have been watching wrestling for a long time, and a lot of fresh faces that you're going to see as well. I've had the fortune of talking to Kerry Morton several times as well. Like, really enjoy Ella Envy's work. Really enjoy Missa Kate's work as well. Like, just a nice mix there of established talent, new names. Maddie Rinkowski, I think, is going to be, like, I think she's going to be a big star in pro wrestling. But
agreed.
Like, just an incredible number of talent on that show. Aaron, please tell the people where they can find you, where they can support you, where they can follow you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ahead of, before, during, after NWA 75.
So yes, after NWA 75, we are going to be in Nashville, August 28th and 29th in Nashville. YouTube, Tuesdays, 6:05, NWA Power. We have pay-per-views on Fight TV. Again, stay tuned. You can go to NWA Tix, that's NWATIX.com. And again, you can give me a follow on Instagram. It's The Aaron Files. And yes, you can always stay posted on what's going on. And I have like a couple of my my acting gigs have showed up and kind of getting some traction. Of course, now there's strikes.
Oh my gosh!
Or whatever.
I think you should leave. Before we go, I would love to hear a little bit about that. I mean, that blew up. Did you have any idea that it was going to blow up as much as it did?
Oh yeah. It's honestly with the way the industry is going now, it's a fight that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So although in the immediate, it's like, oh, yeah, we know nobody's working. which I'm lucky I get, you know, do seminars if I want, but in the long term, it needs to happen. And sure. I'm glad that people are showing the support and everything like that. And again, like, I try not to get too upset, like, as industries change, and then as the road changes, you have to adapt and go with it. And I just think, like anything else, you have to be resilient and adaptable enough to just continue forward.
Do you ever see anything like that happening in wrestling? I feel like if it did, it would be more like a WWE Players Association as opposed to an all-encompassing wrestlers union.
Yeah, I don't think it'll. If it would have happened, it would have happened already, in my opinion.
Sure.
Because it's simply just too complex.
Interesting. Well, I am definitely going to be nagging you to make the trip to Lexington to do an in-studio interview with me sometime soon.
Yeah.
I would love that. Yeah. I knew you had spent some time in Louisville. Didn't know that you were still there. We have definitely got to make that happen, because I got like a million more things to talk to you about. This was fun, enlightening, educational. I want to say that I appreciate you so much for your time, Aaron. Check out NWA 75, and thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Back at you. It was a pleasure.
Until next time, guys, we're out.